Good morning. Good morning. And thank you for the wonderful music that we just had, Kristen and Karen. I was glad, said the psalm, when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." In the New Testament times, we understand the house of the Lord to be us, the people, gathered here for worship at the movement of God's Holy Spirit, a living temple made of living stones. So welcome everyone here to the house of the Lord, that is us, the people, all the worshipers gathered. On my way here this morning, driving earlier, of course, I noticed that on some of the vineyards and the berry bushes, they are already flowering, some of them, and certainly the leaves have been out. And what you see is something that Jana will be speaking about later from John 15, about this wonderful life that flows through every vine, resulting in leaves and fruit, each one of them unique, slightly different from the other if you look close enough, and yet each one also an expression of the DNA and the life that is in the vine itself. And may we also experience something of that today and in all our Christian lives, being outgrowths connected to Christ the vine. So again, welcome to all worshipers, especially to any who are with us for the first time this morning. May you know God's welcome through ours. And to visitors, especially, we ask that you sign your name to a guest register that I believe is in the back of the pew ahead of you. And there's also a guest book in back. And let's start worship, too, with a time just to greet each other with a word of greeting and blessing. And if you have an announcement, please come forward to be ready to give that, too. So let's welcome each other. If you have any announcements, please come forward.
The PCRC has completed our annual review of Matthew this year, and it consisted of two parts. One was an appreciative inquiry session with the elders and the church council, and the other was a questionnaire that we gave out to the congregation. Thank you to everyone for your feedback. Because this was an annual review, we don't have an official recommendation, but rest assured that we are using your feedback to work with Matthew to strengthen his ministry here at Zion. And even if you still have more feedback, or if you didn't get a chance to submit your feedback for the official review, we accept feedback at any time, and not just during review sessions. So please feel free to talk to any PCRC member. Thanks.
On May 24th, we will be having the Heston Choir here with us, and those May 24th?
14th.
Oh, I'm sorry, May 14th. I saw that wrong. There's going to be 24 students and three adults that will need to be hosted that evening in our homes, and they will need to be provided with breakfast the following morning and a sack lunch. So please note that in your bulletin, and there's a sign up in the back if you can host any of those people. Thank you.
A confession to make. Sometimes as a pastor, as we prepare for worship, we are thinking so much about what it is we're going to teach, what is the theme, get so focused on, say, the scripture verse or the doctrine or something like that, that we forget the bigger picture. What are we here about? God, the God who called us here. And I was reminded of that recently in reading the first section of the Mennonite Confession of Faith, the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective. It jumped out at me in a very worshipful way, so I invite you to join me in worship. You will see the words printed on the screen here to join me with your part, either as people or all. So reading from the first line in the Confession of Faith. We believe that God exists and is pleased with all who draw near by faith. We worship the one holy and loving God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit eternally. God's awesome glory and enduring compassion, God's sovereign power and unending mercy, God's knowledge of all things and care for creation, God's abounding grace and wrath against sinfulness, God's readiness to forgive and power to transform, God's unlimited justice and continuing patience with humankind, God's infinite freedom and constant self-giving, to the one holy and ever-loving triune God be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 100. Number 100, praise him, praise him.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest earth angels in glory. Strength and honor.
like you now to turn to number 546. 546, and I'd like you to stand as we sing this next song. Guide My Feet. Turn in the Green Sing and Rejoice book to number 96. Number 96, I'm pressing on the upward way.
I'm pressing on the upward way. Oh.
ahead and be seated. We're going to sing one more song at this time. It's Jesus Loves Me. And it's in 341 in the blue hymnal, or many of you can just sing it by memory. Jesus Loves Me.
Our worship continues with the offering of our tithes, our gifts and offerings this morning. Would the ushers please come forward? Let's pray. Of what we are about to give, Lord, you have no need. It is yours to begin with, but we need to give, Lord. We need to give of our substance, if giving our heart has any meaning. We need to give, Lord, of what you've shared with us, if the giving of our words is to have any meaning. And so bless both the offerings and those who offer them to greater consecration to your service, to the growth of your kingdom in this world, to your honor as it spreads through the world, and to our joy in knowing and serving you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I invite Casey and Steve Miller to come forward with Amalia. And then in just a little bit, we'll invite the rest of the family to come forward, too. May I have the delight of holding Amalia here? Okay. Amalia, did you hear the song that was played just now? Children of the Heavenly Father, Such are you, and such are we all here too. Just take a look here. You know your parents and your family over there. They're not too far away. And then now here is your faith family, the church family here, who's here to celebrate with you the very fact that together we are children of the Heavenly Father. This is going to be family for you as well. So like good uncles, we heard about tío and tía, uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and grandparents in the family of God, the household of God. We're making some big promises to each other and to you today to be family and to remember that the choices we make, the things we say are just like in our own homes where we grew up or growing up, have a big impact on everybody else, including little children here. So I know you're not going to understand all everything that's going on right now, but someday you'll see some other children up here doing this too, and other families. And you'll turn to your mom and dad and say, "Did they do that for me?" And they'll say, "Yeah, and we'll all remember that we did that too." So Casey and Steve, we rejoice with you today in the gift of this child entrusted to your loving care. And I think she wants back in your arms, not mine. I think you just figured out, I'm not mom or dad. Like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child for dedication. God has a purpose for Amalia. As she finds this purpose, her life will become a real blessing and channel for God's work. It is your privilege to guide your child in such a way that she will fulfill life's purpose and continually seek to do the will of God. Specifically, it is your part and duty to see that the child shall be instructed in the teachings of the Bible and the principles of our Christian faith. You shall train her to participate reverently in private and public worship. And we all know that that takes a few years, and we are patient with each other over that. In every way, by word and example, you are to lead her into the love of God and the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now I will ask you, do you now present your child, Amalia May, before God in solemn dedication? So we say we do. And do you acknowledge your duty to see that she shall be taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise, God being your helper, so to guide her that she may later of her own choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating herself to his service? And so please say we do. The responsibility for the Christian training of this child does not lie with these parents alone. It is also our responsibility as a congregation. We must provide a Christian environment in which Amalia can grow. As members of this congregation, we are also charged with the responsibility to do our part for the child's Christian nurture. As evidence of our willingness to assume this responsibility, let us, the members of this congregation, rise in honor of her decision, and I invite Amalia's family to see Brian and Felicia and mother and father and grandmother and grandfather to come forward here as well. And congregation, open your hymnals to number 791 in words of commitment that we will share with each other. These people gathered here too are very, very important people in the life of Amalia, all bearing special roles. We acknowledge especially that which Felicia and Brian have shared as well. So these are the promises that we are making to her and the whole family. Reading together, please. You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to provide a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your tasks both joyful and fruitful. Please remain standing as I pray a prayer of blessing over Molly. I'll just lay my hand on her head there and pray. Gracious God, accept this child who has been brought for dedication. Grant that as she grows in years, may she also grow in grace, in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the influence of the Holy Spirit, may she become a true child of God in every way, serving you faithfully all the days of her life, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, source of all wisdom, guide and uphold these parents and all their families so that they may be able to carry out their responsibilities. By loving care, wise counsel, and by example, may she be able to lead this child into a life of faith. And bless us as a congregation, a family of faith together, that we may not cause others to stumble. By our life together, may our influence be a light on their path. Amen. God bless you, Amaya May, and all her family. Thank you. You may be seated. Children may come forward for the children's story now with Ken.
Tell Hunter that one day you're going to be up here telling the children's story. Yeah, you were preparing for that this morning, weren't you? Ooh, I look out here and I see all different colors and everybody's looking good this morning. Let's check out the audience here. Whoa, there's some really good looking people out there. Who do you think is the oldest person out there? This guy's named Paul. Paul, will you raise your hand over there? Yeah, that guy right there is the oldest one. Did you just now see the youngest one? Amalia. She is so cute. I saw her hair this morning, and she's got more hair than I do. And she she has this cute little thing on there. Oh. Well, as long as we're looking at him, who do you think is the strongest person out there? More muscle than anybody else. Who? Oh, okay. Well, let me show you something. Yeah, who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, I'm not going to argue with that one, folks. My theology. Well, can you sit down, Hunter, please? Thank you. I was talking about strong, I was talking about old, and I was talking about young. Is it true that people that are the strongest are the most important? Oh, I got some heads shaking this way so much. Yeah, I really agree with you. In fact, some of the most beautiful things are small things. Well, just look at this right here, huh? Yeah. And some of the most beautiful things are older things. Yeah. I get kind of fascinated with this idea of small things. So, I took my camera and I decided I'm just going to walk around the house and take pictures of small things. And I'm going to see if you guys know what they are. Can we do that? All right. Sheila, can you cut the lights back there? And let's look at our first one up here. Does that shut off here? Take a close look at that, folks. What do you think that is? Anybody want to take a guess at what that is? Is it? Yes. What is it?
Is it a crystal?
A crystal. Could be, but it's not. It's a Kleenex. Yeah. And you know, that Kleenex is so nice and soft, and the only reason that Kleenex is nice and soft is because it has what we call fibers in it, and those fibers are very small, and that's what keeps it nice and soft. If it was just made from one piece of paper that was real, we wouldn't want to use it. It would be not good at all. And Jenna, help me out. Which button do I push? I know, but which, just button? Oh, it went. Okay. Thank you. Oh, what do we have here?
Straws.
What is it?
Straws.
Straws. What do you think it is?
Toothbrush.
A toothbrush. Well, let's look at the next picture and back away a little bit and see what it is. Oops, does that help you out? Is that a toothbrush? Imagine, well, let's go back one more picture. Oh, yeah, that is my toothbrush. Imagine if the toothbrush weren't made up of little bitty fibers and it was just one solid thing. Would that be great for my teeth?
No.
Oh, man, that would be really hard. Thanks. You can sit down now. Let's take a look at the next one. Ooh, what is it? I'm listening to you. A phone. Ah, could be a phone. Let's back up one more and see what it is. Whoops. What is it?
Numbers.
They're numbers, that's right. And that is my remote for my television. And when I look at it real close, I think, my goodness sakes, I need to clean my remote up. Look at all the little things on there. But each one of those numbers is really important. If it was just all one number, it wouldn't be a good remote, would it? The beauty of those small ones is there. Ah, what's next? IP102. Anybody want to take a guess what that is? Yo, Ellis? It's IP102, that's right. What do you think it is? It's a house number. Let's back away and take a look. Ah, it's a pill. Did you know that all the pills that you take have numbers on them or have markings on them? Uh-huh. Yeah, and the reason they have markings on them is so if we accidentally get them mixed up with something else, we can tell what they are. Those numbers, boys and girls, are really important. Let's go to the next one. Oh, eyeball. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is my wife's eyeball, but I don't want you to look at the eyeball. Look above the eyeball.
Eyelashes.
Eyelashes. We have those eyelashes to help keep the dust and stuff out of our eyes. If those eyelashes were great big, it wouldn't work as well to keep them out. Boy, doesn't she have a pretty eye? Yeah. Oh, let's take a look at the next one. You're never in a million years going to guess what this is. Ooh. What do you think it is?
Holes in the sand.
Holes in the sand. Let's take a look at the next picture and see if you can tell. Whoops. Anybody else want to take a guess at it? What?
A pepper shaker.
It's a pepper shaker. That's right. And if there was not small holes there, those beautiful little small holes, if there was just one big hole, wow, what would happen? That's right. The pepper would all come out at once. In fact, we have a pepper shaker that has the holes are too big, and it really we get too much pepper at once. Hey, what's the next one?
Bananas.
I think that's kind of beautiful. I like that. Did you know that bananas are not always yellow? In fact, when they're this banana, when it was on the tree, was green. And that there are bananas that are red. And then there are bananas that are kind of a purplish one. When we are in Malaysia to visit my daughter, we don't eat big bananas like this. They're shorter ones, and they taste a lot different. Let's take a look at another shot of that banana. Can we go to the next picture, please? Yeah. Okay, what's our next one? Ooh, what is it?
Peas.
Peas. It is something to eat. It's not peas.
It's a cucumber.
Cucumber. Not quite. This one you have to peel. A pickle. Yeah. You know what it is? Let's take a look at the next picture.
Avocado.
Avocado. Yeah. An avocado. And that skin protects the inside of it. You know why they're... Do you know why that's rough and not smooth? So I don't drop it. Oh, I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, I think it's kind of beautiful. What's our next one? Ooh.
A light switch.
A light switch. Now, I got to confess something here, and I don't want to embarrass my wife, but my wife really keeps a clean house. And when I took a picture of this and I saw up close all that stuff that's on there, well, I guess we're going to have to go back and clean our switches, aren't we? Yeah. Let's look at the next one. Yeah. And the next one. Do you know what that is?
It looks like a flower petal.
A flower petal. Well, actually, I'm sitting out on the porch. I had some peach tea, and I was kind of looking at the light as it came across the peach tea there, and it's a glass of peach tea.
A
bathroom? Yeah. So... that's up close of it. Let's back away from it a little bit. Now you can see it there. Now back away one more time. Ah. Yeah. And see the kind of the little drops up there on top? That's because the peach tea was really cold. And it was kind of, it was making frost up on the top there. The beauty in these small things. We got to make sure we don't miss them. What's our next one? Ah. You're never going to guess this one. You're never going to guess. What is it, Lily?
A chair?
Man, you get them all. This is, let's take a look at it. Yep, it's our lawn chair out on the porch. Yep. And if we didn't have all those little fibers in there, that would not be soft to sit on. Yeah. Let's take a look at the next one. I got to tell you, this is an iron bell that's out on my porch. But look real closely at the holes that are in there on that iron. And you'd think it would be one color, but look at all the colors on that, the beautiful colors on that. Looks like a rock. It does, doesn't it? Let's look at that. There it is, right there. Yeah. And the next one. What's that? Let's take a look at the next one. I'm taking a picture of you. And our next one.
Teeth?
What do you think it is? Ellis? A what?
Tree.
A tree.
Fork.
I think you're right. That is a fork. Look real closely at each of the tines there, and they have streaks on them. I like the way the light shines off of it. What's our next one? Oh, we're going to look at this picture, and then we're going to look at two more, and then you're going to be able to tell me. There's this one, and what's the next one? And this one, and what's the next one? And that one. What is it? Yeah. It is a? It's a clock. It used to be my mom and dad's. It was my mom and dad's wedding present from their parents. It's a wind-up clock. So it... it's kind of nice when you look at it from up close. If that clock didn't have those little numbers on there, not much of a clock, is it? What's our next one?
A flower.
It's a flower. Do you see the little things on the inside? That white stuff there, that's pollen. And the bees come around and they collect it. And the pollen is peeking out. Let's go to the next picture real quick. I want to show you something. This is another part of that flower. And those white specks up there are little pieces of pollen that have flown off and come to the outside there. And our next one is... Have you ever seen wheat before? Yeah. That's wheat. And our next one... And this is our last one. And I know that you... I know you can't know this one. When I was in Mexico, I picked up a piece of coral. And coral grows at the bottom of the ocean, and this one I had broken loose. It's kind of like a seashell, and it blew up. And all those little faces are on there. Well, boys and girls, I love small things. I love small things. And I love you. And I am really glad that you came up this morning. What a great bunch of listeners. Yeah. So, go home and get your cameras and take some pictures. Oh, okay. Can we pray together before we go back? Yeah. Father, thank you for the beauty in small things that you give us. For your constant love for us. For the eyes that you give us and the ears that you give us to pay attention to small things. Amen. All right, here we go. Let's go back to our prayers.
I drink coffee.
Thank you, Ken. Let's have a prayer before the message this morning. God, we just thank you for the many words from long ago that can bring life to us. Thank you for those words that you have shared and that they're alive today. I ask that you would touch us, speak to our hearts this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you please take your Bible, or you can look on the screen, which is very convenient these days. I want to begin with our scripture passage from John 15, 1 through 8. And I love the language in the message. This is modern language, and so I've chosen to read it from the message. Please follow along with me. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is a dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. What a great time of year to live in the Willamette Valley right now. We drove over by Mount Angel yesterday, and there are these new vineyards that are planted, they're growing, they're bright green, lush, and I just love that imagery of our valley that we can apply to this today. First, I want us to think a little bit about where in the Bible is the book of John. If some of you are new to finding your way around the Bible, it's in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. And John was one of the 12 apostles. He was one of the inner three closest to Jesus, along with Peter and James. So we can remember stories about Peter, James, and John together at different places during Jesus' ministry. He was one of the inner three closest to Jesus. And I think it's interesting to note, if you look and read the whole book of John, where this placement is of Jesus' words. It's right after the Last Supper. So it's when he's preparing for his death, and he knows that there will be a time when he won't be with these 12 men again, that he's sharing so many truths with them, and I think it's to help them remember who he is and why he came. So Jesus begins by saying that he is the true vine, the source of growth and fruit bearing, in a vineyard that is tended by my Father. So I love this image of God as the farmer. The Creator God is the one who tends the vineyard and shows forth its worth and its quality. The word abide, I kind of looked up the definition of that because I didn't know if that's a real good modern word for today. So hold on to, hold is in the title of my message, hold on to Jesus, where we could say abide in Jesus. Jesus gives attention by this word abide to the stability and faithfulness that he has in his relationship with the disciples. If you read there verses 4 through 10, abide is repeated 10 times. And the metaphor of the vine illustrates this. Only when nutrients flow freely to the branches can fruit be born. So this is like an organic union of our dependency on the vine to be healthy and thriving branches. When you look at a grapevine, one of the first things you notice about its branches are it's difficult to tell them apart. They are stringy and they spread really fast and they're all connected together. They twist and curl where you can't tell where one stops and one starts. So Jesus' description of branches in this way expresses that it's not the success of an individual or separate branch that matters. The quality of branches and fruit depends solely on the quality of the connectedness to the vine. Each branch, each person, if we think of ourselves as a branch, gives up our desires for individual success or status or accomplishment so that we can become one of many twisting, curling branches that is rooted and nurtured by Christ the vine. What a wonderful image of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. And Jesus does this. He draws sap from the earth, and he passes this life on to the needy branch. And he enables these branches to be held together. And it allows the branch to be strong and healthy and to grow. Apart from the vine, the branches easily wither, dry up, and are no good. So when we think about our life flowing from the vine, Jesus, in this scripture, is helping the disciples understand that they will produce no fruit from themselves if they do not remain in the relationship to him. Because the eternal life which a disciple must possess if he is to bear fruit originates with him. Jesus the vine makes us green, thriving, productive, And apart from him, we cannot do much. There's a couple of things to remember as branches in order to stay fruitful and in order to stay connected to Jesus. We have to remember that we have to remember that branches are fruit bearing, not fruit making. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. We've heard these words from Jesus many times, but we also hear a call of our culture that says success is important. Workaholism, busy schedules, those things keep us from finding the quiet places to hear Jesus' voice. Listening to our souls, we can listen to the soul maker. We are tempted to think also that we can find that we can be fruitful as a result of our own efforts. When we get closer to Jesus, we can rest in knowing that he will do what we need. He will do the rest for us. I attended a seminar at the Mennonite Health Assembly in March, and this seminar asked the question, how can you turn routine work into a calling? What kind of person are you becoming because of the work you do? And this was really good for me because I work in the church, so it kind of gave me an opportunity to think of a mission statement. What would be my mission statement in regards to my work at Zion? And this is what I came up with kind of off the top of my head in that seminar. Encountering God while we run, walk, pray, and play. Encountering God. I liked this idea of looking at our work as a spiritual path of development, because humanity will move towards things that are most true, most beautiful, and most hopeful about us. So how do we keep reinforcing, reinvigorating ourselves with this truth, with the good news? Do we hold it tight, or do we push it as hard as we can into our culture, expressing Jesus' love and light to others? Because the mission of a branch isn't to look good or to call attention to ourselves, but it's to give all the glory to God. So how do we stay connected? The best way we stay connected with the true vine is to be in communion with God and one another. The branches that carry no fruit are removed, but even the most fruitful branch is pruned in order to make it bear more fruit. So if you go out and you're driving in the countryside and you see a vineyard that they've pruned in the wintertime, it practically looks dead. They prune everything back, and you don't expect the plant to come alive again. So that pruning has to happen, that trimming has to happen in our lives too. A good farmer knows that trimming back excess growth from a vine is the key to making the most of a branch's usefulness. So reading, worshiping together, meditating on scripture is one way that helps us in this pruning and God forming and shaping us to be like him. The words of Jesus about the kingdom and the story of his life, death, and resurrection focus us on what is truly important for bearing fruit. When we're focused on his word, we are able to cut out all those offshoots of temptation or struggles with sin that can choke out our growth. When I was thinking about this scripture all week long, you're constantly reading and rereading it. You're looking at commentaries. You're just, God, what's your message here? What is the truth that I can bring to Zion with this passage? And in that process, it becomes a prayer. And it's quite transforming, I think, as a pastor to prepare for a sermon and realize the growth that can happen for yourself as you prepare. As we're open to this trimming of us for the life of discipleship, we are meant to live. Pruning can be painful as God uses it to trim off old habits and cut away sin that we somehow think is attractive. To embrace our purpose as instruments of God's grace, we stay close to Jesus. He will give us everything we need. He says, "Come and help me in my saving of the world. You have it in you, O ye branches of little faith. You have it in you, and I need you, so come." Throughout the book of John, John is clear that Jesus is just not a man. He is the Christ, God's Son. And we can trust what Jesus says, that we may believe and follow him, Jesus, the true vine. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hold this image of you as the vine and we as your branches, that we could embrace this role of being healthy, vibrant, and thriving extensions of your grace. We want to make ourselves at home with you. We want to be at home with your words. And I pray that these words could carry us through this week. I ask that you would turn our faces away from the shadows toward the light. Help us to know that there is a truth, your truth, which we can commit ourselves. Not an idea or confession, not a theory or a principle, but a person. A person who is you. Lord, help us to say with one voice, we believe in God, maker of heaven and earth, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to say this not as a mere ritual affirmation, but as a humble recognition that our voices are joined with others saying the same words. And let the words and the truth behind them form a new world, and silence the cries and the lies, and scatter the darkness and make us whole. For you are our risen Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a little song together, which is such a good response song. I know people that I was a part of Pacific Covenant with know this song. The men on the chorus kind of sing first and will grow, and the women echo and will grow. So we'll sing it through a couple of times.
Keep us abide.
progress again. And we'll
thank you, Jenna, for your word. Just a little test here. She spoke about the difference between fruit bearing and anyone? Catch it?
Fruit making.
And the fruit bearing is the responsibility of Christ. The fruit making is not really so much in our power, not enduring fruit. And then the other one was about, I found really helpful that I latched onto was fruitfulness versus success. Success, especially, again, in worldly standards. So thank you. Thank you, Jenna, for that. As we prepare to share any joys, testimonies, cares, concerns, responses, I'd like to start by bringing a word from Willie and Donita Garber, who have been homebound for several years, not able to come worship. Visiting with them is getting easier for many of us because they are moving today into Hope Village, into the Marquee Care Center, where they'll have a room pretty close to where the chapel services happen in the dining room. And they're very happy to be doing that, and they send their greetings to the congregation and an invitation to come visit them anytime after they have their room set up, of course. That'll take a little bit of time. What would we like to share as well for everyone's prayers this week? Oh, here, let me go. I'll get this. Oh, yeah, but the sound system can't.
Willie and Donita are going to be in room 101, and they think they got the best room in the house. It's only about across the hallway from the dining, and the library is right against them, and they're about 20 feet from the main entrance and desks and everything, so they got it made.
And if you can't find that, just listen for Willie's wonderful signature laugh. Ken.
This is Ken Kaufman. I've been in love with Sheila for 54 years, and today is the first year of our 48th married experience.
Congratulations. Well, please join me again in prayer. Prayer to close with the Lord's Prayer. We thank you, Lord, that your life flows through us and grows in us to bear fruit O Lord, the power of faith, hope, and love by which you make yourself known to us, coursing not only through the veins of this body, the church, but also your body worldwide. We thank you, O God, for the way in which we can discern the body and its needs, its blessings, as well as its pains. And Lord, for any who have come to join us in worship today, bearing burdens that cannot be shared with us, bearing concerns or fears, we pray that your comfort, your peace, even that enduring joy that carries us like your everlasting arms underneath us, will also be known to them within the pain and to all of us whenever we suffer. And dear Lord, again for the joys that we bear, even simply for the beautiful season, for the sunshine, for the fruitfulness of this season, as well as the fruitfulness of love in families and friendships and communities, we give you thanks for that as well. And may this such love, such joy grow with the sharing among us. For the ministries represented here, O God, the care and concern expressed to the world, even to strangers who are not of family or faith, we give you thanks and we pray for your blessing upon such ministries, Lord, as Bridging Cultures, Canby Center, Habitat for Humanity, Maranatha in Mexico, Vida Feliz in Bolivia, the Bar Ministry, dear Lord, and other ministries among us. We pray that they would also be fruitful to bring honor to you, much joy and health to lives as well. We thank you, dear Lord, for Willie and Danita's needs being met again, their family helping them move, as well as the new home that they will have at Hope Village. We thank you for love known and expressed and shared in such fruitful ways through Ken and Sheila and their years together. Thank you, O God, and bless and strengthen all our families as well. Thank you for your promise that you put the lonely in families. O God, for the church suffering around the world as well, such as the church in the barrios and the toughest neighborhoods of our own cities, O God, facing gang warfare and drug warfare, we pray, O God, to raise up a witness of peace, especially in cities where there is so much estrangement, hostility, and fear, as in Baltimore, but also close to home as well. We pray, O God, for the church persecuted and underground in the Middle East, in much of sub-Saharan Africa. We pray, O God, for the church facing poverty, disease, hunger, and civil war in such places as the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And we pray, O God, that our peace, our plenty, will serve to help meet their needs. For we are one body with all the church throughout all time and ages, praying together the prayer that says it better than we ever can, when you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we sing the last song, I'd like to give us the word of blessing that Christians and churches in Sudan often use, the word from 2 Corinthians 13. Let's rise for that and then for the last song. In solidarity with Emma, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Please turn to number 425. Come, ye saints.
Come, ye saints.